Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel, giving you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co and follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay tuned until the end, where, as always, we offer you an exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who will also find it of interest. Today, I am jumping into a topic that I have wanted to do for a very long time, and I finally found my perfect guest and partner through which to have this musical conversation. You know, some of you know, if you're following and if you've seen me along my trips, specifically overseas in the U.S., you'll know that even though I'm an Orthodox Jew, I prefer to do Shabbat, the Sabbath, with Christian friends in their communities, sometimes in their homes, very rarely, but mostly we do a great Shabbat experience in hotels. It involves traditional food, it involves fellowship, it involves prayer together, and it involves studying the Bible. And I really enjoy that. And I enjoy it because it puts me in the place of not doing something that's necessarily rote, where I walk to synagogue and come back and have a meal and sort of rinse, wash, repeat. And I'm not saying that that's bad at all. I think there are a lot of things that Christians can learn from us in terms of how we do Shabbat. But it puts me in the moment. It puts me in the position where I'm often explaining why we do what we do. And that makes it even more meaningful to me and always enjoyable. So I don't forget, if you'd be interested in having such an experience in your community, I invite you also to be in touch. But today's guest, someone who we've had before, someone who I've actually had the privilege of sharing in person here with our recent Root and Branch program in November of 2024, who came and spent a lovely evening with our group, is Rabbi Josh Rubin. Josh is a friend. He's a neighbor. He is the founder and brains and the persona behind something amazing called Kosher World Adventures, providing kosher travelers like myself with opportunities to go to tremendous exotic places without having to bring cans of tuna fish and crackers in order to be able to subsist. And those of you who have a sense of what keeping kosher is about, you'll understand that that's a little bit more sophisticated and a great opportunity. He is transitioning, we use the word carefully, these days, to learn about trauma therapy and become a trauma therapist. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit too, because that's a transition that was certainly born out of the war that we are 18 months into. Josh has a big, beautiful family, a bunch of kids and grandchildren. He's a writer. Every time I go to his house, he's got a new book to show to me. I have, here it is right here on my desk, just by coincidence. David Loves to Dance is his latest book, which we'll talk about how people can get that. And one of the really cool things, other than all of the above, based on a fabulous idea that he had, we are partnering in something together with Genesis 123 Foundation called Footsteps. And I invite you to go to our Genesis123.co website to learn more about Footsteps, where we are planning to bring you and people like you to follow in the footsteps of righteous Gentiles who saved the lives of Jews during the Holocaust in Europe. Rabbi Josh Rubin, I love being together in person. It's second best to have you virtual, but I'm excited to be able to have you as we kind of explore something that is one of the most musical parts of our weekly worship, It's called in Hebrew Kabbalat Shabbat, the welcoming of the Sabbath. And when I said, would you do, you didn't even let me finish the sentence. You were all in. Welcome.
Hello.
Is that going to be, I'm seeing you looking down at your guitar. Is that going to be a musical shalom?
In a second. First, you know, how do you know if someone is a holy person? You know if someone's a holy person if he makes you feel holy. And you know, if you would ask people, oh, is Jonathan Feldstein, he's a holy person? Everyone say, well, that's not exactly how I describe him, but it's exactly the way I describe him. You know why?
Why?
Because he makes other people feel holy.
Thank you.
And it's just like, it's unbelievable. So we'll start. What can I tell you? There's a lot of people on the planet Earth. There's a lot of them. And, you know, I go to Japan sometimes. They're expert in moving people around because there's a lot of people there. You got to keep moving them around. And at the same time, there's so many people that we see on a daily basis. We're surrounded by so many people, and there's so many people picking up rice in the church after the service is done. All those Eleanor Rigbys, all those only people. Hmm. And so what is the deepest secret? The deepest secret is that is receiving the other person. I'm standing next to him, but receiving. And this tefillah we're going to talk about is called...
Tefillah's prayer.
Prayer. This prayer we're talk about is called Kabbalat Shabbat, which means receiving Shabbat. Receiving Shabbat.
Receiving. Thank you. That's good. I always say welcoming, but you're right. It's receiving.
No. Can you imagine? I'm married. I've been married like 300 or 400 years. I lost count already. But I want you to know, it's good to be married. I mean, thank God, you know. But do I receive my wife?
Good.
You good. Know?
Excellent.
And you know what happens? What breaks our heart is that we're married, but we really don't receive each other. It's hard. You have parents, you have children. Do we receive our children? I mean, we're going to spend our whole life with them. And so here we're saying this is called Kabbalat Shabbat, the receiving of Shabbat, which really means is that, am I willing to receive God? And, you know, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know if you're ready to receive God? It is really, really simple. If you're willing to receive other people.
Beautiful.
You know, and how do we know this is true? It's because, okay, everyone heard of Abraham, the first Jew. So God says to him, listen, Abraham, I know that you're 99, but you're going to have a child. Before you have a child, you have to have a circumcision. Now, that sounds a little bit, you know, out there, but okay, he does it. Okay, so now God decides, and this is in Genesis, remember in chapter 14, I think, more or less. And God decides to visit Abraham because he did this incredible act of circumcision. I mean, he was 99 years old. And so and it says, Vayar Hashem Elav Ba'alone Mamre, and God appeared to Abraham in Alone Mamre. In Alone is a kind of tree. Mamre is a city in Samaria. Till today, if people want to go, there's a city called Alone Mamre. You can actually go there today. God appeared to him in Alone Mamre. Okay, so let me ask you a very simple question. God appears to you. God appears to you. So what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to pray. V'yisa'et enav, and Abraham lifted his eyes. That's what the text says. Vayar shlosha anashim, and he sees three people. The Bible says, how do you know that you're really connected to God if you see other people? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So the really religious people are the people that, you know, how do you know you're really walking with God if you walk with other people? So yeah. This is a Kabbalat Shabbat, and this is so beautiful, beyond beautiful, and Kabbalat Shabbat. And what do we say? We walk around Shabbat, and we greet people. We say to them, In English, sometimes we'll say good Shabbos, you should have a good Shabbat. In Hebrew, we say Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, we know, is a Saturday, is a Sabbath. Shalom is also a familiar word. Shalom means peace. You should have a peaceful Shabbat. So, this is where we start. We say, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. You know, what does the world need more than peace? I don't even know. Okay, so now we sort of like relax ourselves and we enter into the synagogue and we're trying to receive other people, say hello to other people. And I really, you know, I want to bless you that if you're sitting next to someone, that God gives you the strength to say hello to that person.
Yeah.
How you doing? What's going on?
And that's all the time. But on Shabbat, what's cool about Shabbat, and I want to get into what's the Kabbalat Shabbat, what are our prayers? Because when I do this, when I'm with Christian friends in different states around the U.S., it's so easy because everyone relates to the worship. It's Psalms. But what's also so interesting is that most Christian friends don't understand when I say I'm unplugging, I'm going to be offline for Shabbat. People don't really know what that means. They know the general concept of not working, but not exactly how we do it. So when I go around and I do these Shabbat experiences, by the way, as we'll do when we bring people to Europe for Footsteps next, it's not just going to be a road, it's going to be experiential. But this is the interesting thing. Shabbat, the Sabbath, is one of the big 10, right? It's one of the 10 commandments. And it's one, the one, probably, that most Christians overlook. One God, no problem. Don't take his name in vain. Honor your parents. Don't covet. Don't steal. Don't do, you know, all these things that everyone say, yeah, I'm on board. But the Sabbath, not so much. And this is, so it's really nice to give people that experience. And that's why I have it. So that's why I like to do it the way I do. And often you find me cooking when I'm traveling, doing these things too, which is also amazing. And anywhere I go, I can find kosher food to cook. So we jump in. This is what the good thing that I have you here now is that you are musical. You have a guitar around your shoulders. You sing, you speak in song often, even if it's not musical. And this, so, but I'm absolutely not musical at all. I mean, I love listening, but I'm not a good musical person. So we're going to give people a flavor of what this is, because it's our most musical service of the whole week. It's not just Shabbat. It's the whole week, right? And one of the things, so what's cool, and I want your input. We haven't rehearsed any of this, but one of the things I want your input on is that, you know, it's very easy to do Kabbalat Shabbat, a receiving of the Sabbath, the common worship together. I'll do it in English when I'm with friends who don't understand Hebrew. But it's very easy because the beginning, well, the most of it is Psalms. It's Psalm 95, it's Psalm 96, Psalm 97, Psalm 98, Psalm 99. And this is common scripture that Jews and Christians relate to. So even before jumping in, you're the rabbi here. I'm not. I'm just the holy person. And I thank you for that lovely endorsement. Why? Why these Psalms? What's the significance as we unplug from our weekly routine and we completely go into a connection with God and that day of rest? Why these Psalms?
So it's a great question. And I'll address it in just a moment. I want to tell you, I was on a plane going from Washington to New York. It was one of these prop planes, you know, with the propellers. you know, and those kind of planes, it's good to pray on those planes because you don't know what's going to happen. And I'm sitting next to Bethany, and we're more or less the same age. We're both married. We both have kids. And when you're more or less the same age and you have kids, what do you talk about? Talk about ketchup. You got to buy the ketchup. You got to put it on the table. You got to clean off their faces. You got to wash it out of their clothing. So we're talking. So we were talking about Shabbat. And I was telling her on Shabbat is that we don't use electricity. And what happens is that there are no cell phones at the table. And there is no...
On Shabbat.
And there is no, you know, football game to watch.
Right.
We're just going to sit around staring at each other.
Right.
And we're going to sit around the table and we're going to have a meal. And there's going to be discussion, and there might be some scripture read and
yep.
talked about. And Bethany is like, I look at her and she's like a little bit teary eyed. And
yeah.
she said, I said, what's going on? She says, that's the way it used to be in my house when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Sundays at dinner, and we sat, we talked. There might have been even a hymn that was sung. And so, you know, Shabbat is this island in time where we come together, the people that you love, the people you're close with, and it creates, you know, we are living in the noisiest generation that ever existed. So imagine just toning it down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, what's the difference? It's the weekend. The weekend is great. You know, I had a hard week. It's the weekend. I got a weekend. And I get to rest, and, you know, maybe I'll go to Home Depot, and I'll find this, and I'll find that. It's all good. So this basically is, it's great, but it's sort of like I'm escaping from, because, you know, it's good to relax and have a barbecue and whatever, sit around the pool. Shabbat is not escaping from. It's escaping to. Why is it escaping to? Is because what sort of defines our world, okay? You want to be musical? I'll be musical. Here we go. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. I'm elastic. I'm made of plastic. We live in a world where everything is like out there. Barbie and everything that she represents, everything. And it's, I want to turn on something else. What do I want to turn on? I want to turn on my connection to my values. I want to turn on my connection to my family. I want to create a silent space where I can turn on my soul and we can sing together. We can talk together. And that's why when a lot of times when Jews pray, or a lot of times when many people pray, how do they pray? With their eyes closed.
Mm.
Why are they doing that? It's because what does Barbie represent? In order to see you, I have to open my eyes to see you. Shabbat is all about, I see you. I see you because my eyes are closed. You know, when in the Jewish wedding ceremony, so the groom approaches the bride before they actually walk down the aisle, and he goes and he covers her with a veil.
Yes.
And he says, "What? Why cover with a veil?" And one of the interpretations is, he says, "I see you even when you're covered.
Mm.
I see you even when you're covered." You know, because what do I see? With my eyes closed, I see the inside of who you are, not the outside of who you are.
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance, creating an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anyone for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit IsraelTheMiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
Here we are. We're jumping into this prayer. And this prayer, there's six psalms. Okay. Why the six psalms? Because there are 6 days in a week. And each one corresponds to one day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Each day of the week. So the idea is that here we are and we're progressing towards Shabbat. And there's so much to say.
I know.
Whoa. So, but seven, you see, the moon is like, there were some Indian tribes that they, when they asked them how old they were, they say, I am this moon's old, because they counted their cycle by moons, which makes sense. It changes, it goes up and down, I can count it. The seven-day cycle is not really a cycle of existent nature. You have seasons, but not 7 days. That doesn't exist. And so almost an artificial way, but it is an important way of dividing up our time, because one of the worst things that happens is that today is just like yesterday, tomorrow is just like, and we just feel like, ugh. And what I really, and we're going to get into this soon into the Psalms, when it talks about singing a new song, is that my day divides into, I focus on the external world. God says, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the land, and then on Shabbat, refrain from physical creativity. Spiritual creativity, great.
Yeah, excellent.
Intellectual creativity, great. Emotional creativity, all good. Physical creativity is for the 6 days. Yeah. And so we have this rhythm to the week. And come Shabbat, and we sort of like reflect a little bit. Okay, there were 6 days. What did I do during the 6 days? What do I want to do better until I actually reach the Shabbat? And seven is an interesting thing, because seven, in the musical scale, there are seven notes. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, seven. There are seven colors that we – there are more, but there's seven colors that we can see in a rainbow.
Nice.
So seven comes to symbolize, and everyone knows that in the temple, the candelabra, the menorah, had seven candles.
Right,
and yeah, so, and those people that have seen Jews put on the black straps, the phylacteries, the tefillin.
Wow,
so
yeah.
There are also seven straps that we put on. Seven symbolizes perfection. And it's a very important thing. Why? It's because Judaism believes we can create a perfect world here. And we say in one of our prayers, "Lataken olam b'malchut shaddai," to fix the world in the kingdom of God. It means we can actually make this place, you know, we can actually make this place better, you know. And sad as it is, today when you look at science fiction movies, it's all about, you know, how the world is going to end. I grew up with science fiction, you know, with with Star Trek. And there it was just like, we're moving forward. We're moving forward to a better world. And I can say a lot about that, but I'm not going to. But I'm just going to jump in over here. And nice. And the first thing we say of these six psalms, and these six psalms, they are one. They in the book of Psalms, they follow each other, and they all have one theme. And the theme is... bring the message that there's a God and God is in control of the world. That is the message.
Which is it's so important as we go into that day of rest. And as you said, seven is artificial in terms of the order of nature, but it's not, because it was ordained from the beginning, Bereshit, by God. And therefore that makes it in fact divinely natural. And as we're ending the 6 days of creation, going into that seventh day of rest, here we are in all of these steps reminding us of that. And the first one, I'm just going to move it forward, but the first one, and I don't even think about it sometimes. Come, let us sing to Hashem. Singing. We're talking about it. It's telling us this is your most musical opportunity. Why?
Why? Because, first of all, the music is beautiful.
Yeah.
Litzur Yishenu. He said, go and sing to God. Let us sing to our Savior. You see, what are we saying? We're saying is, Litzur, this is very important to know the Hebrew. It doesn't say it's the royal you.
Yes.
One. We're saying us. We're saying we want to live in a world, you know, what's the problem in the world today is we don't have the same values. What does it mean that God has dominion over the world? It means that we all share the same values. And so we're saying, let us all go sing. And I'll tell you something. Why are we saying, let us go sing? Because imagine you're sitting in a room and two people are talking to you at the same time. So it's like, I'm going to get a headache. But imagine two people are singing at you at the same time. And it's harmony. Mm. It's harmony. It's unbelievable. You know, imagine you're in Israel. On one of the Jonathan's programs, you come to Israel, and it's Independence Day in Israel, and you're outside in Jerusalem, and you're walking down, and there's people walking around, and suddenly one person grabs one of your hands, one person grabs the other hand, and you're about to call the police, but there's like music, and everyone's dancing around. Now, how does that work? It works is because music cuts through. It cuts through. And so usually I'm not going to hold the hand of a stranger. I'm not going to do it. But when there's music, I'm going to do it. It's an unbelievable thing. And, you know, imagine you go to a wedding and and there's music at the wedding. Now, there are people there, older people, young people, very little people, children 3 or 4 years old. So no one's dancing. There's only one kind of person who's dancing at the wedding. Actually, two. One of the kids, 3-year-olds, they dance. Why? Because they dance. But there's another person that dances at the wedding. Who is that? It's the 50-year-old holding the 3-year-old child.
Mm.
He allows himself to dance. Everyone wants to dance. But because he's holding the child, he allows himself to dance.
Very nice.
And so, you know, there's a part of us that's young. And wants to sing and wants to dance. And you know what happens after we sing? We feel young again. It's an unbelievable thing. Okay. So we start, and not only that, is that Lithunaranana, go. Now, what does it say in Genesis chapter 12 to the first Jew? Go.
Go.
Go, you shall go. And so this is a constant thing in Judaism, is to be active.
Running away from, going toward.
Going towards.
Right.
Absolutely.
Very important.
Growing up, I grew up when the Soviet Jews still could not get out of the Soviet Union, and they had these big signs. And the big sign says, let my people go. And soon it's going to be Passover. Let my people go. And the sense of that, but that's not what the sentence says. That's not what Moses said to God. He said, not what Moses said to Pharaoh. He said, let my people go, so they shall worship me.
Right.
Not freedom from, but freedom to.
To do something bigger, to do something better. And this is, I'm glad you started out singing, and it is beautiful. And that's why this will be sort of my default. Everyone who comes to my Shabbat, wherever I do it in suburban America somewhere, they're going to have to watch this video. They're going to have to listen to the conversation. Come, let us sing to Hashem. Let us call out to the rock of our salvation. I get that. But and we don't always, sometimes we sing the whole psalm. Sometimes we don't. But then at the end, here and here, when I'm doing this, I never think about it when I'm here in my own community. But the end, which is also musical. For 40 years, I was angry with the generation. And I said, an errant-hearted people are they, and they know not my ways. Therefore, I've sworn in my wrath that they will not enter the land. I mean, that's pretty harsh now. Help me understand why we're starting our Shabbat like with a slap in the face like that.
So, you're right. You're right. So, I try to watch the Ten Commandments, the Cecil B. DeMille production. Okay. And he has a great, he does a great golden calf. It's great. You see the Jews and this and the other. And the golden calf, that was a big sin. That was a big sin. Oh, my God. And so when it's all over, so there's a punishment. Okay, fine. Some people had to leave, whatever. Okay. Now, there is another big sin, and that is of the spies. The spies, they go in, they come back, and they say, listen, we can't conquer this land. And at that point, God says, well, so you're going to have to walk around the desert 40 years. So which sin is worse? You would think the golden calf is worse, but it isn't. Why? It's because in the golden calf, we didn't exactly believe in God. So God said, okay, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing, but okay, we'll figure it out. But what happened with the spies is they didn't believe in themselves.
Wow.
And God says, look, if you don't believe in yourself, what am I going to do? You know what we need to do every single day? We have to walk around encouraging people. Like, we have to encourage people a million times. We have to give them self-confidence. You know, whatever, children, just give them self-confidence to believe in themselves, to believe in themselves. You know, and so here we say is that we're starting Shabbat. And what is Shabbat? Shabbat is returning to believing into yourself. You know, Elijah, so he has this big showdown with the prophets of Baal. And they're crying, God, bring down fire. Nothing happens. Elijah pours 12 jugs of water on his altar. 12, of course, because of the 12 tribes of Israel. He says, God, answer me. Boom. In the book of Kings, fire comes down, eats it up. And everyone says, there's only one God. And great, he's a hero. But he was only a hero for a little bit of time because then the king and queen there, they ran after him. So he had to run away to the desert. He runs away to the desert. And he's sort of like searching. He doesn't know. He's searching for God. And suddenly he hears this huge noise. And he says, Lo Barash Hashem. God doesn't come in the noise. And he sees a huge fire. And then he says, no, God doesn't come in fire. And then it says in the book of Kings, Shama Kol Dmama Daka. He heard a small, silent voice. And so you see the quiet of Shabbat, turning off the TV, turning off the car, turning off the cell phone, is so that I could turn myself on. If I'm watching reel after reel after reel after reel of it, I don't even know what we're watching. Turn myself on, you know, and to turn the family on, you know. So we say yes. We don't want to be in a place where we don't believe in ourselves. We don't want to be in a place where we're going to have to wander around the desert 40 years. And so we mentioned that at the beginning because Shabbat is all about.
Excellent. Can you sing us out of that? Sing us out of Psalm
90? Absolutely.
Sing us out of 40 years.
The second psalm, we say, Shiru l'Hashem Shir Chadash. Sing to God a new song. Shiru l'Adoy Shir Chadash. Shiru l'Hashem Kol HaParetz. Shiru l'Adoy Shem Bach Kishvat. Pasru v'yam l'shuvata. It's a proof. You know, if you when people dance, look at their feet. They have one foot on the ground and they have one foot in heaven. You know, there's certain things that are gravitational. Like if you have a boss, he's pretty gravitational. How do you know that? He's always putting you down. But then there's certain things that are anti-gravitational, like dance, like children. They lift us up, like song. So we say, God, we need a new song. We need a new song. And you know, what does God say to Moses at the burning bush? Moses says, who are you? And he says, I am who I will be. What kind of answer is that? So God says, I'm not fixated only on the past. I will be who I will be. So God says, I want to have a relationship with you in your present and in your future. So we say, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, sing a new song. Connect to God in your here and now. What does God want from me today?
It's so interesting, by the way. You know, you're making me look at this now completely different. We're now in Psalm 96, and I've wondered, okay, you six psalms, 6 days of creation, makes sense, 40 years in the desert, new song. But here, what's so interesting now about, and I'll ask you to maybe sing the conclusion. You just sang the beginning of it. Sing the conclusion of Psalm 96, how we do it on Friday night during the Kabbalat Shabbat. But I'm looking at it now just through a completely different spectrum, because in one sentence, two sentences, you've basically got all of creation boiled down into there. You're talking about the earth rejoicing, the sea, the fields, everything in it will exalt, the trees of the forest. He's created all of this stuff in those 6 days, and now here we are celebrating him and recognizing that he's the judge. He's our judge, and he's judging us with righteousness. We hear it.
Yismechu shamayim v'tageh ha'aretz. Din-dai da-da-da-da-da-dai. Din-dai da-da-da-da-da-dai-da-dai. Da-da-da-da-dai. Ishbote v'haber tzedek. V'yamim b'emunato. Din-dai-da-da-da-da-dai. You know, there's just so much here, and I want to keep it going. And yes, in the next psalm.
But wait, before you do, I just wanted to make an observation. For some reason, the audio isn't picking up the guitar as much. But that's interesting, because people need to understand that in a traditional Kabbalat Shabbat, in any of the services that we go to, there's no musical instruments. It's all acoustic. It's all a cappella, excuse me. And some of the best music.
So here you see at the beginning of the next psalm, which is Psalm 97, yeah, it says a beautiful thing. It says at the very beginning, Hashem Malach Tegil Arts. God has dominion over the world, and the land will be happy. Yismechu iyim rabim, so many islands will be happy. And so this idea is that the universalistic approach, the belief that humankind can save itself, the belief that one day we can all share common values. Mm. And it's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. I mean, I think it's great we went to space. I mean, Mazel Tov, it's good to go to space. But you know what? If we could spend all that money and learn how to live together and share values, then the world would be a different place, you know? And so that's really the theme over here. And I just want to share with you one part of it. If you look towards the end of the psalm, it says, "Shema v'tismach Tzion." We are Zion will hear and be happy, and the daughters of Judah, the tribe of Judah, will be happy. Leman mishpatech Hashem,
your judgments.
Because yes, and the idea is that it's the same thing. The feminine voice, the feminine voice.
Wow, nice.
Yes, the feminine voice that, had to stay close to home because it had children to take care of. This is the way it was traditionally throughout all of human. So they needed more defense. They needed more protection. So the feminine voice was the one that needed to be more protected. And so it says, that voice, which we all have, needs protection. And it's a voice of softness. It's a voice of gentleness. It's a voice of reaching out. You know, many times our children, they sort of like get angry and they storm out. And, do you reach out? You don't reach out. A very male perspective would be not to reach out. They'll come back when they're ready. The female perspective or energy is to reach out to them. You know, you're on the roller coaster and you see you made a mistake. It's too late to get off. So you turn to your father and your father said, you decide to get on. It's your problem now. And you're going on it and you're going down and you say, you call your mommy.
Friends, Israel's at war and the war may get worse before it gets better. Much worse. It's going to be a long war because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 123 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire, and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust, and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds. Just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
Tragic as it is, breaks my heart. Soldiers are wounded, and in Israel it's happening a lot. And they're laying on, before they're being treated and before they, they're called Ima. They don't call out for the fathers.
Yeah.
They call out for the mothers. You know, if it was up to me, in order to be a president or a governor or senator, you'd have to be a grandmother. I'd have the whole world run by grandmothers.
Mm.
But anyway, be that as it may, I want to share with you this so beautiful. It's so beautiful about this voice of gentleness, of reaching out, that needs to be protected with the right kind of judgments. And it goes like this. We sing, Shalama Tismach Tzion V'tagena B'nagin Yehuda So, everyone, just for the next 20 seconds, close your eyes and sing with me.
I'm having an audio issue, though.
It says, a big banner, it says, will you marry me? I mean, it's beautiful, right? Look, he's professing his love on the big banner, and look, he wins the effort. That's one scenario. The other scenario, you get home, and he's outside your front door, and he says quietly, will you marry me? Quiet. At Shabbat, we we shut down the outside noise. It's so noisy, you know. I don't know. I grew up in the 70s, and, you know, like, music, what is music? Music is music and not music, you know? Here, I'll give you an example. Summer breeze makes me feel fine. That sentence is a song, but it's made up of summer breeze, stop, and then you continue. Mm. It's music and not me. Summer breeze makes me feel fine. The music today is like boom, boom, boom. There's no room. No room. There's no room in the music today. It's a different kind of approach. Be that as it may, you know, I just want to bless everyone that they have a chance to dance with people, to sing with people. Mm. You know, can you imagine, you know? I mean, I have certain people I go to the movies with, certain people I go and play pool with, whatever, but people that I can dance with, people that I can sing with.
Very nice.
And that's like the beauty of Shabbat, you know? It's like in our neighborhood that both Jonathan and myself live in, we walk around, you see people, you don't even know them. What do you say to them? Shabbat Shalom. You should have a good Shabbat. You should have a peaceful Shabbat. During the week, I see them, I don't say anything. But you see, it's so beautiful that the holy spiritual power of Shabbat.
Right.
I can say hello to people I don't know.
And it includes the silence, the no vehicles on the road, and you can walk in the middle of the street. You actually hear the birds and things in a distance, miles away, especially where we live because of the mountains. One of the first weeks that we were living here, 21 years ago, I remember just walking on a Saturday morning and just so, and here we go. And maybe this, I didn't think about it till now. Experiencing God's creation, the trees, the smells, the sounds, everything. And there we go. That was Shabbat. You can experience it when you're not drowning in all of the noise and drowning in all of the stimuli that we deal with 6 days a week, and drowning in all of the pressures too from it.
So, I mean, it's the second time you mentioned God and nature. And so let's just say it this way. Okay. You take the family, soon it's going to be Passover, you know, vacation, you go to the beach, and you're sitting there, and someone comes down and says, hey, it's Passover, I am going to split the sea. Says, oh, great. So he splits the sea, everyone claps, it's unbelievable, right? Great. Everyone wants to take a selfie with him. Great. Wow. Okay. So you still have the same guy comes, and he says, you know what? I'm going to split the sea. That's unbelievable. Great. He splits the sea. Unbelievable. Everyone takes a selfie with him. Everyone's happy. Anyway, he comes there every single day. Every single day. Every single day. And now it's years. It's years and years and years. Every single day he splits the sea. And that which was miraculous at the beginning becomes nature.
Mm.
And you see, the sun comes up. The sun keeps coming up so many times, so I don't call it a miracle.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
I call it nature.
There you go.
You know, I've been married to the same woman for a long time. I don't know. I applied for parole. I didn't get it. It be as it may. So, do you know? She still loves me. It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
She drives me crazy. She still loves me.
Yeah.
But how precious is that? Is that not a miracle?
Right.
What, the fact that it happens every day? So you say, well, that's just the way it is. We do go, no, it's a miracle.
Right.
You know, children, I bless you. If you don't have children, you should have children. If you don't have children, you should spend time with children. Children, that they love us and they want to spend time with us. Oh, my God, what a miracle. What a miracle. You know, now we already have grandchildren, and sometimes the grandchildren, they run towards me. And so I pick them up. So when I pick them up, I ask myself, who picked up who higher?
Mm.
Who picked up who higher? You know, mm. And let's just say you have a friend, you know, he gives you encouragement. Oh, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. The world is such an ugly place. My God, the thing that people do to each other is terrible. And yet there's still people that do good stuff and they encourage. Just because it happens on a daily basis doesn't mean it's not a miracle. It's really a miracle.
Well, that's beautiful, and we're not going to talk about it now. We'll finish with the Kabbalat Shabbat, but then there's the whole Shabbat experience where we, because we're unplugging from everything else, we really do get to appreciate it. And during the week, not so much. Not that we shouldn't. We should appreciate it all the time, but sometimes we're just too caught up in it. I see you tuning up. Should we move on to Psalm 98?
Well,
Psalm Sing to Hashem, and again another new song.
Brother, I just done wonders.
He has done wonders. You just spoke about the wonders.
I know. We're just stuck. There's so much. I mean, you direct me. You tell me what you want to talk about.
Psalm 98. This is all music. This is all music.
100%. Let me just see where we are.
Play music to Hashem on a harp, with a harp, the sound and sound of chanted praise. What's that sound like?
Give me a second of it. Okay, here we go. Which psalm?
98.
I'm sorry, I lost it. 98. One second.
Mizmor Shir.
Mizmor Shir. Here we go. Here we go. You notice that what's called? It's yes, 100%. I'm with you. Here we go. Shiru Adonai Shechadash Kiyeni Tvavot Asa Shiyav Allah Yehina Av Ezravat Adosham Tenai Na 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 Na
We're losing the audio. I think your voice is competing with the guitar. Yeah, we've got no audio here. Josh, I need to pull you out of the moment. I think your guitar is competing with your voice, so we're getting nothing.
Getting nothing.
Yeah, we're not getting you. You're not hearing the guitar or the voice. I want to hear the voice.
Okay, so didn't die, 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 die. Better.
Better, cool. Better.
Bum ba na 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 na.
Okay. What's the end of that psalm, that which is what we sing? Then, so typically, and you're the musical one, but the structure is we'll often begin the psalm singing, then there'll be a silent part where everyone kind of prays by themselves, and then it comes back with what we call the chazan in Hebrew, and Christians would call it the worship leader. Comes back.
Yes.
Right?
So it's, again, it's a beautiful thing that we say before God in Psalm 98, before God, the Fnei Hashem, Ki Bad Yishpot Haaretz. We're standing before God and in God's judgment. Yishpot Tevel B'Tzedek. Who is God judging? He's not only judging the Jews, and he's not only judging the Christians, Yishpot Tevel, he's judging the entire world.
Yeah, yeah.
So we say,
yeah, we're losing your voice again, Josh. No, when you're singing, we're not hearing it, which is counterproductive for what we want to do.
Okay. Yishpot Haaretz, better?
Yep.
Yishpot Tevel, Betzedek, V'amin, B'meshorim.
Beautiful. Beautiful. The last psalm, the last of the six.
That's the
Psalm 99, right?
Yep.
And when Hashem will reign, the nations will tremble. Again, this is kind of, this is intense. But
100%.
Right?
Yep.
Why on Shabbat? Why do we need that now? Where this is we're going into the climax. This is the last of the six psalms that we're singing and reading together before Shabbat actually begins. Why do we need that? Why do we need Psalm 99? Nations trembling.
Well, basically, there's so many ways to say this, but the war against Jews is really a war against God. I mean, it's tragic, you know? It's tragic. When extremists try to kill Jews, what do they say? I can't even make it up. This is what they say. Allah Akbar.
Yeah, their God is great.
Well, what they're saying is that we're fighting. It's about God. Allah Akbar. It's very, very sad. And you know, recently my wife was in America, and they had devil dogs. They don't really sell them in Israel. And yo-yos. And I think there's something called roll-ons. Anyway, all those cream. And like, you know, it's like, I don't want to go on a diet. Because I have to give up, you know, and all my Entenmann chocolate cake. And you know, people say, oh, you're religious. I'm not going to have any more fun. And so what happens is that when people think, oh, if I have to live with God, then I have to, like, you know, just, you know, disconnect from the world and not have any fun. And people said, listen, leave me alone. I just want to live my life, you know, and it gets people angry. It gets people angry. You know, what do you mean I have to live my life a certain way? Only I decide how I will live my life. Only me. We live in a world today that only I decide. What do you mean there's a set of values? And this is like a fundamental issue with Judaism and also with Christianity, is that we do believe in a right and a wrong. And this drives people crazy. We believe in a right. We believe in a wrong. We believe that this soon Passover is going to happen in just a few days, that we need to proclaim liberty throughout the land, that we are responsible. We have a responsibility to do these things. We believe in certain values. We believe in having conversations, and hopefully we can all get together around certain values. And when the people of the world hear this, Hashem Malachi Gezoamim, when they hear this, that, you know, you want to live your life in a certain kind of way. No, I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. And I don't want to live it according to, you know, and, you know, it's unbelievable. We live in a world today where the amount of complaints that police departments have to deal with regarding neighbors has gone up around between 20-30%.
Wow.
Why? It's not that neighbors are more annoying now than they used to be. They're still annoying now. They still always were annoying. But it used to be neighbors talked to each other and they figured it out together somehow. You know, today we live in a world that the only one that exists in the world is me.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. It's true. It's a battle. We didn't go through this, but one of the Psalms says, Ave Hashem, Sinu Ra, the people that love God hate evil. Hate evil. And we believe in good. And we believe that we need to fight against evil.
Right.
And not everything is good.
On October 7th, 2023, Israel and the Jewish people suffered a massacre
and calamity of unprecedented proportion, the largest number of Jews killed in one day since the Holocaust. That this is even something that we even measure is harrowing. Since then, the Jewish people have never felt more alone, in Israel and around the world. It brings us back to when 6 million of us were murdered in the Holocaust, and few rose to protect us. However, those who did, the righteous among the nations, can never be forgotten. They serve as a beacon of light for us today and for future generations. Footsteps was born in the wake of this most recent calamity to give you the opportunity to walk in the footsteps of the righteous among the nations, the righteous Gentiles. Footsteps is a boutique travel experience with a personal touch. You will experience stories of the righteous among the nations, their descendants, of the Jews they saved, and the generations that came from them. Through this, you'll be inspired to follow in their footsteps to inspire new generations of righteous among the nations, especially today when so much of the world is embracing overt anti-Semitism. In a generation where standing up for Israel and the Jewish people is no longer something to be taken for granted, stories of the righteous among the nations call out to us, inspire us, and are models for today and for our next generations. Please join us and get more information at genesis123.co. A great segue. It always comes up. First of all, I want to tell people, because we're only giving a 101, right? People should use this opportunity to pick up their own Bibles and read and understand Psalms 95, 96, 97, 98, and 99. But here, Psalm 99, the sixth of the six, when we begin to conclude the singing of that, what are the words? Ba'amud Anan, in a pillar of cloud. Now, for most people outside of Israel, that means nothing. But, I mean, it means nothing special. But what's so cool, and I always interject, and you're talking about peace and getting along, one of the things that I always will interject and note here is that we even give our military operations biblical names. I forget which one Amud Anan was, when that took place. It had to do with Gaza. But I love the fact that here we are revering God. In a pillar of cloud, he spoke to them. They obeyed his testimonies and whatever decree he gave them. If that's not a message to those who are worshiping the other God, I don't know what is.
So we say, Ba'amud Anan. Look up at heaven, and you know what they forget? That we all share the clouds.
Wow, nice.
And you know, believe it or not, during Corona, one of the good things that came out of Corona was the fact that over China, there is a huge brown cloud of smog because of all the factories are there. And during Corona, it disappeared.
You know,
we all breathe the same air.
Yeah.
And so it used to be, I didn't know about what was going on, you know, in the sweatshops here, there, and the other. So we say, yes, in the cloud, God spoke to them. And it's the shared space. And also, why a cloud? Because a cloud is sort of, it's, you see it. It's you.
Yeah. You see it, but you can't touch it.
You can't touch it. It's there, you know, it's there, but it's that gentle aspect of reality.
Nice.
Cloud. Yeah.
Very nice.
So I now we come. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I want to wrap up. I got one more psalm, and we must finish with L'chun Ra'anana. For some reason, I don't know why, which is sad, I don't know how to fix it. Sometimes when you're singing, it cuts out because I want people to hear. Mm-hmm. But we've now done the six, and now we're not going in order. There is a seventh psalm, but it's not Psalm 100. It's Psalm 29, Psalm of David. Render unto Hashem, you sons of the powerful. Render unto Hashem honor and might. Render unto Hashem honor worthy of his name. Prostrate yourselves before Hashem. Why the switch up, Josh?
Well, you see,
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and now 29.
Yeah, 100%. So
stand for this one.
Yeah, yes, because there's one word that repeats itself time and again in this psalm, and that is the word "call," which is voice.
Call
is the
yep.
voice.
Yep.
Yes, it repeats itself time and again.
It sure does.
It does. Yes. And yeah. So, do you hear it?
Mm.
You know, do you hear it? This is like the huge thing. You know, it's like we go out into nature. You talked about nature, and do you hear nature? And in order to hear nature, you really have to be quiet. You know, and do you really hear your? Do you hear your wife? You know, nice. When she's talking to you, what is she really saying? You know, do you hear your children? What do you hear? You know, and you know, we spend so much time listening to things. You know, a friend of mine said, you know, I don't know if I want to go to seminary. I don't know if I go to a Jewish seminary or go to yeshiva because they might brainwash me.
Okay.
And my other friend said, you know what? Maybe it wouldn't be so terrible if someone washed my brain.
Mm.
And like, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like we got all the jingles and we got all this stuff in our brain. And one of the things that washes our brain is, you know, a silence, but also the voice,
right.
You know, and believe it or not, we just started the book of Leviticus, and there it says, "Vayikra Adonai Moshe," and God called Moshe.
Yeah,
and so we believe that God actually speaks to us, and but God doesn't speak to us like, you know, on a big billboard, you know, in Times Square. It's a very small voice. We talked about Elijah hearing the small voice of God, and God, you're like, we hear a voice. And what do you hear? But in order to hear it, what do you need? You need to quiet yourself down. You know, there's a philosopher. His name is Levinas, and they asked him, what happened to God during the Holocaust? And he said, there was no room. There was no room for God, and you know, making room for God in our lives, making room for other people in our lives. What's the voices? You know, there are voices. If I spend, you know, I have ear pods and I have anything. Yeah. And do I hear the voice of other people? And so this is as we sum up the 6 days, this idea of actually making a decision, what I want to hear and do I hear is fundamental. And it all ends off, we say, at the end, the last four sentences, God sits on a flood. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean, God sits on a flood? Well, we have done amazing things. Vaccinations, going to the moon. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, dwarf wheat. I mean, we've done a lot of great things, okay? One of the things that we still haven't really conquered are tsunamis. We still haven't figured that one out yet. And we say, Hashem lama bul yashav, that God actually can wow. control nature.
Wow.
That there's something greater than nature. What does it mean to be a religious person? Anyone can do a religious act. So what does it mean to be a religious person? Is being a religious person means I believe that God knows more than I do, that God is smarter than me. So, and that God can do things that I can't do. And, you know, the modern man, It's a little bit, you know, let's just put it this way. It's going to be Passover. And one of the pieces that we say that God took us out of Egypt. Anivolo Malach, it was God, it wasn't an angel. Anivolo Saraf, it was God and it wasn't a seraphim. Anivolo Shaliach, I didn't send a messenger. So what is the message over here? That there's certain things that only God can do. And how do we know this? It's because there's certain parts of myself I've been trying to fix for such a long time. It's hard. It's really hard. And you know what happens? We give up hope that I'll ever be different. I'll ever move forward. And that's what we say. We say, Atzur Agamayim is also from Tehillim. He says, who is God that he transforms the granite into a well, the rock into a flowing stream? It's from a quote from the book of Psalms. What does that mean? Sometimes we feel like our heart is like stone. Well, there's a part of ourselves. What's stone? It doesn't change. But what we pray to God is that things can be different.
And Shabbat is that time to refresh it.
And yes, because surrounded by, I think Israel now is fighting on 7 fronts. It's very easy to give up hope. So as you talked about it, it's a divine rhythm of spending time with hope. That's what Shabbat is. Through song, through dance, through family, meals, conversation.
And completing the cycle of 7, and I'm glad you pointed it out. It's great to have these conversations. This is our chavruta, our learning together. But I've never noticed it. The word kol, voice, in Psalm 90, in Psalm 29, 7 times.
7 times?
7 times.
And next time we're together, we can talk about 8, because circumcision happens on the 8th day. It's not an accident. The high priest was
Hanukkah. We'll do life as a Jew by the numbers. Let's wrap up with Lecha Dodi. It's a beautiful poem. It's often completely sung. I have to tell you a story. You're a musical. I don't think I've ever shared this with you. About 10 years ago, I had the privilege of hosting friends for Shabbat who were just a little bit musical. Ricky and Sharon Skaggs. I think Ricky has 17 Grammy Awards. So I said to, he came for Shabbat. They came for Shabbat. And they joined us for the Friday night for Kabbalat Shabbat. And I said, like, we're having a 17-time Grammy Award winner in the congregation with us. We have to have someone who can sing beautifully. So my neighbor, Avi Schmel, said, I'll do it. And I'm telling you a story, but I want to challenge you for a moment. And he did something with Lecha Dodi that can only be done with Lecha Dodi. He picked a Ricky Skaggs tune. He sang it to the tune of the Highway 40 Blues. Now, everyone who knows Ricky Skaggs is already starting to stomp their feet and knows the tune. And for those who don't, you have to go watch Ricky Skaggs perform it live with there's an orchestra that he plays it with. It's a magnificent song. And except for my wife and myself and Ricky and Sharon and one other guy who was there, who was from Texas and knew the song, everyone just thought Avi was making it up. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Give us a minute about what Lecha Dodi is about, if you will, and then pick your most random tune to sing it to. Not all of it, but just give us a flavor.
It says, Lecha Dodi, we started out with Lechu Neranana. Let us together go and sing. Lecha Dodi is Likrat Kala. And Lecha Dodi means that the dod, the uncle or the lover, goes and he meets the bride. And so basically, I ask you a question. Do you believe that God is a creator? Okay, it makes sense. There's a creation, there's a creator, there's a program, there's a programmer, there's a watch, there's a watchmaker. It makes sense. Okay, So Genesis, basically, God is a creator, all good. Then I say, God is a commander. Well, he said, listen, there's certain things you have to do. Ten commandments, God is a commander. Then, let me ask you, is God a lover? So what? Echadudi, Ikra Kala, is an act of love. It's an act of love. And this is very important. I see, my hands. You see, when we say that we believe in one God, we're not saying there you could believe in two gods and we say we believe in one God. We're saying this. We believe in one God. And so what is that? That's love. Love is that I'm inside of you and you're inside of me. You know, everyone's singing love, 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 love me do. We can sing about love forever. But what is love? Love is that I'm inside of you and you're inside of me. This is what love is. Okay. So, it's a time of coming together when the lover comes to the bride. And there are different interpretations, but it's all about come together right now, you and me. Just come together. Yeah. I'm telling you, I don't know what to do. It drives me out of my mind. Can't we just come together? Can't we just come together? Everyone knows that the first story when we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden is a story of Cain and Abel. Why is that the first story? Because there is no other story. Look at human history. All human history is Cain and Abel. And so, but once a week on Shabbat, we remind ourselves that it's about coming together. God coming together with humanity. Husbands and wives coming together. Parents and children coming together.
And our coming together with God. We have to make that's an active thing as well. That's not just something to be taken for granted.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
And how do you know you're getting closer to God? You know, you get in a spaceship, and the further you get closer to heavens, the further you are from the earth. That's the way it works in spaceship.
Okay.
But in our tradition, how do you know you're getting close to heaven? You're getting closer to earth.
Ah, very nice.
Closer to people.
Very nice.
You know, and so I'll just say one. I'll end with the song and the story. Just one story. And after the Holocaust, the chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Herzog, he took it upon himself to collect all the Jews that were left in different orphanages, and throughout Europe. And he would go, and records were lost. They didn't know who was Jewish. All these children that were left by the parents, hoping to come back. And of course, as we know, tragically, they did not come back. And he was having great difficulty as he went through Europe trying to get these children and bring them to Israel. And then he came upon a strategy that worked. He would stand in the middle of the orphanage and he would sing.
Oh, cool.
He would sing. He would sing, "Hero Israel, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." And when he would sing, the children would look at them, and some of the children would say, "Mame, Tate, Father, Mother." You know, there's something about song that lifts us up. There's something about song that brings us together. There's something, you know, it's not an accident, you know, that we say, you know, "I want to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony." Song, you know, and that's why this is the ultimate favorite prayer of almost anyone, because it's so much song.
Yeah.
And, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean? What is the unity of Judaism? Judaism doesn't say everyone needs to be the same. It's like an orchestra. The tuba needs to be a tuba, and the oboe needs to be and the French horn needs to be a French horn.
Oh, very nice.
But
come together.
we're coming together to sing the same song. There's certain values that we all have.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's probably about 10,000 ways to sing Lecha Dodi.
There are.
And there are. But it's because coming together is an energy. It's explosive energy of happiness. So we say, Lecha Dodi, Lehi Kratkava, Pene Shabbat, Ne Kabela. We say, Lecha Dodi, Lehi Kratkava, Pene Shabbat, Ne Kabela. Lecha Dodi, Lehi Kratkava, Pene Shabbat, Ne Kabela. Shama Vezacha, Badibor, Echot, Hishmianu, El Hamuchot. This idea of coming together. So just for a moment, let's just sing together. You know, as we're ending, I just want to bless us that we sing with people. That you sing with your wife, you sing with your partner, you sing with your children. The world will be it's one of the ways that we heal the world. We fix the world through song.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm so grateful, first of all, that the Lecha Dodi part didn't get cut out. We were not having audio problems. For those of us who missed it, we will do our best to fix that in the future. Rabbi Josh Rubin, it's always a delight. It's always better in person. But this is fun, very, very engaging. You've got me wanting to get ready for Shabbat, and it's only Sunday. So I'm really grateful for that. Thank you for joining. Thank you for this. We're going to have a lot of other opportunities for people to connect with you when we bring them here on Root and Branch next fall, and hopefully next spring when we do Footsteps together. So anyone who wants to connect with us, please be in touch. Go read your Psalms. Thank you so much. Let me just close us, not in song.
So I'm just going to say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye to everyone.
Shalom, shalom.
As we have done now for years, the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation wants you to have a special opportunity as a way of saying thanks for following this program. All we ask that you do is follow and like Inspiration from Zion. And then when you comment, share the link to this program, we pick one person at random every month to pick to receive a special book. We call it From Jonathan's Bookshelf. And for the last 18 months, we've been promoting our book, Israel the Miracle. It's stunning. It's something. If you haven't seen it, you want it. Even if you haven't seen it, you'll want it. And if you've seen it, you're going to want it all the more. $75 value. And we're going to give that to you free. So just all we need you to do is follow Inspiration from Zion, comment or share the link, and we will pick one person at random. We're always grateful that the podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. If you're ever in the area, pop in and thank them for helping make conversations like this possible. And also thanks to the Coyne family for their meaningful sponsorship. Inspiration from Zion and all of the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please help us to continue the dialogue and build bridges. If you'd like to sponsor an episode in honor or memory of a loved one or a special occasion or your favorite worship leader, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments as well as part of a dialogue and invite you to ask any questions, especially questions about traditional Judaism for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this with others who will also find it of interest and continue to join us right here as we bring you more meaningful conversations about unique topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy, and I send my blessings from right here in the Judean mountains. God bless you. Hallelujah.